Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 13. Good to have any visitors. We're glad that you are here. There we go. So, I want to ask you a few questions this morning. And what I want you to do is count how many of those that agree with your life. Dr. James Roberts of Baylor University poses a questionnaire in regard to our cell phones. And it is a series of questions that can kind of pinpoint whether or not are we somewhat or fully enslaved or addicted to our smartphones. And I want to go through some of these starting out. And just silently, you don't have to put your hands in the air or anything like that. Just silently count how many of these you get, okay? All right, question number one. My phone is the first thing I reach for after waking up in the morning. I sleep with my smartphone next to me in bed. I often use my smartphone when I am bored. I have pretended to take calls to avoid awkward social situations. I find myself spending more and more time on my smartphone. Question number next, I spend more time than I should on my smartphone. That's something maybe you could acknowledge. Question number next, I become agitated or irritable when my smartphone is out of sight. Question number next, I have gone into a panic when I thought I lost my smartphone. Question number next, I have argued with my spouse, friends, or family about my smartphone use. Question number next, I use my smartphone while driving my car. By that, I think you're like scrolling social media, things like that. Question number next, I have tried to curb my smartphone use, but the effort didn't last very long. And then finally, the last question is, I need to reduce my smartphone use, but I'm afraid I can't do it. Now, this professor at this university says this. He says, if you get 0 to 2 answers, yes, this is me, for just two of those questions is yes, this is me. He said, you're either living in a monastery or have the patience of a self-restraint of a monk, or technology simply scares you. In other words, anybody has a smartphone, you have more than two of these. 3 to 4, though, he says, you have not yet reached your tipping point, but need to carefully assess how your cell phone is impacting your life. 5 to 7, he says, you have crossed the tipping point and are moving quickly to full-blown cell phone addiction. And then 8 and above, he said, you need a reservation at the Betty Ford Clinic for habitual smartphone users. How many did you get? I'll be honest with you, when I took this 2 weeks ago, I scored a little higher than I thought. And that's the thing about our smartphones and our cell phones, is that they can be used for great good or they could be used for great harm. And we noted last week in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, it's actually verse 12, when Paul says, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be dominated by anything. The word dominated is the idea of being controlled, enslaved by, okay? And there are many things in life, Paul says, they're okay to do. They're not a sin to do. But if they control you, then that's a problem. That's a real problem. You know, you think about additional things, you know, about cell phone use. Do we ever find ourselves having trouble completing tasks at work or at home because Our cell phones are such a distraction. Do we ever find ourselves being isolated from people because our cell phones is something we would prefer to be on? Do we ever conceal our use of our smartphones, lying to our parents or others about how often we use it? Do we often become irritable or cranky if our smartphones were ever interrupted in them? Do we ever have the fear of missing out? And what I mean by that is do you hate to feel like you're out of the loop or think you're missing out on some important information or news if you don't check your phone regularly? And so do you compulsively check social media or things like that? Is there a feeling of dread or anxiety or panic if your phone is not with you or if your battery runs down even? Or do you literally have withdrawal symptoms whenever you're without your phone? You know, these are some questions we really need to consider because I really, and this is my opinion, I really think the silent epidemic of modern day society, the silent addiction that nobody's talking about is actually, are we enslaved to our cell phones? Here's why. There have been a lot of studies through the years that have found that an overuse or an unhealthy relationship with our smartphone actually is linked to increasing loneliness and depression. It actually, you can go and look this up for yourself if you don't believe me. There are numerous studies that they're doing on this thing, and we still don't have I would call a mental health diagnosis of cell phone addiction yet officially. It's gearing towards that. I don't think we, as Christians, we shouldn't have to wait for some book to be published by a bunch of quote-unquote doctoral experts and understand that we can be enslaved to something, okay? But cell phone use and overuse of it in an unhealthy relationship actually fuels anxiety. It's been shown to cause to increase stress. If we have attention deficit disorders or problems with paying attention, it only makes that much worse, okay? It diminishes at times our ability to concentrate and to think creatively, whether at work or at school. It disturbs our sleep. It encourages self-absorption. There was one, for instance, UK study found that people who spend a lot of time on social media are more likely to display negative personality traits such as narcissism, and snapping endless selfies, posting all your thoughts or details about your life can create an unhealthy self-centeredness, distancing yourself from real-life relationships and making it harder to cope with stress. Furthermore, if you think about other addictions in the world that we can have, video games can become a serious addiction, unhealthy addiction. Pornography is a serious issue in our world today for men and women. Gambling, we all know, is a serious addiction. By the way, shopping can be an addiction. Coveting is a form of enslavement and idolatry, Colossians chapter 3 and verse 5. Social media, instant messaging. The point is our phone is an outlet to other addictions, other sinful enslavements. So last week, we started a series of lessons regarding our screen time, our smartphones, and what does the Bible say about it. And for instance, we considered a biblical foundation, if you remember, and we noted that modern technology really originated from God, and so technology is neither good and evil, but can be used for good or evil, and technology is not forbidden by God, too, because a lot of good things we can do with our phones, as we'll see here in a moment. We also talked about how, you know, there have been different responses to this cell phone problem that we're recognizing perhaps in our own lives or even nationally or the lives of children or, you know, anybody and everybody, right? And so, you know, the first response is you should avoid it. It's a sin to own a cell phone. Well, I think you're going beyond scripture when you take that case. But then there's the other extreme of carelessness of it. You know, we just use it for our own good, and before we know it, our cell phone is actually controlling us. And the carelessness, and then it controls us. And we finally closed out last week of what we really need to take the approach of as Christians is it's not wrong to have a smartphone. It's not wrong to use technology, okay? But we need to make sure that we're controlling it and having an awareness at the same time that it can control us and it can be an outlet for sin. And we noted just a couple things really quickly. You know, we talked about how, you know, when we use our smartphones, we should have a desire to please God. We should see the habits we use through the eyes of God and not what is normal in society, because what is normal is actually bad, we found. We should understand that there are dangers in it, and we should set to make personal boundaries. And that's what we're going to strive to do in part today. I'd have, actually for today, I just have two questions for us. Just two questions. All right? Here's question number one. I want you to open your Bible with me to the book of Ephesians right now, and I want you to look at chapter 5, and I want you to look at verses 15 and 16. And here's the question, the first question I want to ask ourselves this morning, and it's this: is our smartphones, our screen time, whether it be an iPad, you know, some of you are thinking, well, I don't have a smartphone, but I do have a tablet at the house. Okay, you could do the same thing on a tablet. Is our screen times, our smartphones, are we redeeming the time that God has given us, or are we ruining our time? Let's look at the text. Notice the Bible says, look carefully then how you walk. Now, I'm reading from the English Standard Version, and in one sense, there may be a little bit of difference in the reading of the King James Version, but that's the overall idea. Walk is not how you actually walk, but how you live your life, okay? And there's a sense here where Paul says, examine how we live our lives. You know, look at how we live our lives. And we should live our lives not as those who are unwise, verse 15 says, but those who are wise. Wisdom is from the word of God, according to the will of God. And so examine how we live our lives according to the wisdom of God. Look carefully, look cautiously. Okay, there's intent here of self-examination. And you think about that, that applies to our smartphones. And so examine carefully how we use our phones. And one of the ways or issues we use our phones is how often we use our phones. Because the next verse says this: redeeming. The English Standard Version says making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. The King James and New King James has a better rendition where it says redeeming the time because the days are evil. You want to know what's interesting about this word redeem? It literally means the payment of a price to recover from the power of another, to buy something off. And there is a sense where, well, what are we buying back? We're buying time. We're redeeming the time. And it's the idea of we've wasted so many years of our life, all right? And so now as Christians, we're going to walk in wisdom, and in walking in wisdom, we're going to redeem the time, which is as if literally the time that we have, we're going to buy it back. We're going to, in other words, make the best use of our time. Do our cell phones help us or hinder us in that process? Because it can go one direction or the other. Notice I'm not taking the position, in other words, of complete abandonment towards smartphones and technology. But I am saying there are things on the phone that sometimes that are not wrong in and of themselves that can become wrong for us if we spend too much time on them. This does not mean, in other words, I can never relax, I cannot have a hobby, I cannot get on social media, I can't play games. I don't want you to walk away thinking all these things that you may do on your phone that are not wrong in and of themselves are wrong to do. No. It's okay to get on Facebook. It's okay to log on to Twitter or TikTok or play whatever video games you have and everything. But there is a sense, too, at the same time, though, if there is not an intentional discipline, there will be unintentional usage. You know, if you think about it this way, in other words, you have things that you need to get done every day, and I do as well. And in that priority to-do list, is our phone a distraction, or are we using our phone to help us to get things we need to get done, right? Is the use of our phones, do they help us accomplish our task, or do they distract us? Do our phones constantly distract us from staying on course? I want you to think about this. If you live to be a ripe old age of 120, because I know some of you in your 90s, and I want to give you 30 years, okay? All right, if you live to be a ripe old age of 120, will you honestly look back at your life and say, man, I really wish I'd have spent more time on Facebook? Or will you actually look back with regret of, you know, I think I probably got on there too much? Will you honestly look back in life and say, man, I one of the things I truly miss and I wish I would have done more of is spent more time on social media and being angry at people, right? Man, I really wish I'd have spent more time playing Call of Duty, Mario Kart, Minecraft, Roblox, or whatever game that's being played, right? Actually, you'll find it to be rather the opposite. A life of regret, wasted years, literally speaking, of doing things that don't really do a lot for us. We'll look back on a life of regret because we realize we could have done so many productive things, learned so many beneficial things, spent time with friends and family, learned more about the will of God, the ways of God, and the purposes of God for our lives. Instead, regret. Because we had no intentional discipline, we allowed our phones to control us. You know, if you think about it, here are a few tips real quickly before we move on to the next point that I really want you to think about. And, you know, there is a sense we go back to the principle from 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 12 of, I will not be controlled by my phones, okay? All right, if I'm not going to allow my phone to dominate me, what I have to do then is I have to set some intentional boundaries. Let me go through these really quickly. Number one. You and I, when it comes to the relationship with our phone or our tablets, we need to identify that we all have weaknesses. We all have vulnerabilities. Now, in regards to time, as far as that's concerned, maybe you're the person that when you wake up in the morning, you grab your phone. Is that wrong? No, not necessarily. But you're on it for an hour. How much time did you waste? Or maybe your phone is robbing you of a night's sleep. You got a weakness, right? There's a problem. How about this? I told you I was going to bring it up, and I'm going to bring it up. Some of you right now are using your phones, the Bible app on your phones right now, for worship. All right? Now, don't misunderstand me. When we go to and I teach the high school class, I say, open your Bibles to Romans chapter 8. Almost everyone in the class pulls out their phone and not a Bible. And I usually say to them, you bunch of heathens. No, I don't say that literally. And it's not wrong to use the Bible app on your phone. It's not wrong. It may be easier for you to turn to Scripture that way, and that's okay. However, though, this is a personal question that everyone must ask. And so if you leave today and you still use the Bible, your phone as the Bible for worship and Bible class, I'm not going to criticize you, but I do want you to seriously consider this, okay? Is using your phone a hindrance in your worship to God? Why is that? I don't know about you. But during worship, I've often found myself getting text messages, email notifications, Facebook messages, other kinds of notifications. And guess what? I gotta answer them. I gotta respond. No, you don't. No, you don't. Oh, there's a notification on Facebook. How many times you log on Facebook during Bible class or worship service? What does God think about that? How many times do you log on social media during worship service? I'm using the Bible as an app on my phone, but at the same time, though, I'm playing a video game. Nobody knows about it. You see, when we come together and we worship God, worship, you know, part of worship is our participation towards God, okay? And that's everybody, all right? And if our phones are a distraction and we're not just on the Bible app, maybe you need to set your phone down, turn it on silent, and use a Bible. Now, if that doesn't bother you and you're not distracted and notifications, but one thing I've noticed about life, and it's very easy, and I see this in my own life, I'll be over at the office, and here I am studying, and notification, and there's this urge, I got to check it, I have to check it. What, somebody sent me a message, and before I know it, my mind is off doing what I need to be doing. Oh, that's so easy for any of us, though, right? Identify our weaknesses. Notice the next thing. Are we willing to replace it? If your phone keeps you up at night, and you say, well, I got to have my phone because I use it for an alarm clock. Well, how about we replace the phone with an actual alarm clock? That's just one principle there. Again, these are personal questions. If you don't leave today saying, well, you know, preacher said I had to buy an alarm clock. I didn't say that. But I am saying when you examine your life and I examine my life, all right, there are times where we may have to replace our phone with something else to make sure it's not controlling us. Or are there apps that need to be deleted? Let me give you an example. I'll tell you a little bit about myself. I normally don't play video games. Years ago, when Angie and I were first married, I think Caleb was like 2 or 3, I would play a video game on the PlayStation, and it was one of those shoot 'em up games. And games are designed to be addicting. They really are. And here's what I found as a guy in my early 20s. I found I'd start playing that game at 7 o'clock, and I wouldn't quit till 2 o'clock in the morning. And I kept saying, God, just one more level. I got to beat this part. And guess what? Anytime I did that, it ruined my day the next day. I was tired. I was cranky. I was unproductive. So you know what I did years ago? I stopped playing video games. And for the most part, I do not, you can ask my kids, I rarely play video games. And I say all that to give you an example. Friday, okay, Angie and I took Grayson in to urgent care, had to come home. His leg was hurting him. We thought, well, did he break his leg or something? So we take him into urgent care. And you know how it is, the waiting process. What do we do today? In the day and age in which we live, when we wait, we do what? We pull out our phones. Well, Grayson is sitting there, and Grayson's getting bored. So I said, you know what? I'll download a game on my phone. Let him play the game. Well, here's what happened. He had no interest in the game, but I did. It was really fun. And you know what I did Friday? For like 2 hours on Friday afternoon, I found myself sitting on the couch playing that game. And it was a fun game. So you know what I did? I deleted it. Why? Because I know me. I know me, and that I could keep playing that and I could be unproductive in my life. And it's like, I can't do that. I've got to, you know, you have to be willing to delete some apps on your phone to make sure your phone's not controlling you. It really is. You know, and, you know, maybe if you wake up in the morning, the other thing is the timer. Let's say you wake up, you know, I got to get up and I got to get ready and everything. Here I am, though. I've spent 45 minutes on Twitter or TikTok or Facebook or Instagram or whatever. Set a timer. All right, I'll look at notifications on Facebook or whatever. I got 5 minutes, though. And that's all I got to spare. And after that 5 minutes, I'm setting my phone down. I'm going to get ready. You understand that? You limit your looks. Do you realize, and I found this, that the average person checks Facebook 14 times a day. The average person, if you have TikTok, you get on it 8 times a day. What? 14 times a day? That may be you. Limit your looks. I'm only going on twice. That's it. At this certain time, and this, you schedule a time and a certain amount of time. I got 5 minutes at lunchtime to get on Facebook. That's it. You understand? Why am I saying this? I'm giving you suggestions and ideas, okay? And what are we doing? We're making sure when we do that, we're making the best of our time, okay? And our phones don't control us. We control our phones. Because if you're not intentionally doing this, it just might be your phone's controlling you. Finally, no-go zones. And here's what I mean by no-go zones. What I mean by this is there are some places you check your phone at the door. My kids have to do that at school. Maybe it's not a bad idea in other parts of our lives. You know, I heard somebody illustrate it this way. You may use a hammer for work every day. You may use a hammer for 8 hours a day. But do you take your hammer with you to the bedroom? Do you take your hammer with you to eat dinner? No, the hammer is a tool. And when the tool is done, you put it up. Think about that in regard to the relationships we have with our phones. Think about that. All right. I got to go to the second question this morning because we close out. All right. Here's the second question. All right. Is our phones drawing us closer to God or further away from God? Okay, I want you to go back to the Old Testament. I want you to go to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 6 with me, okay? And Moses teaches us a great principle about life, all right? And I'm not going to break it down word for word. I'm just going to give you an overall summary after I read it, all right? Moses says this in Deuteronomy 6 and verse 5, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates." What is he saying here? All right, hey, in our lives and in our children's lives and everyone's lives, we need to be reminded of the Word of God, the will of God, the purpose of God, and the presence of God. When we wake up, and from when we lie down, from sun up to sundown, and as we go about our day, okay, what are we doing to fill our minds with the purposes and the presence and the scriptures of God, the meditation of God's word, and the thinking and filtering the world we see through the word of God and the will of God? What are we actively doing? Because being a Christian and being a faithful Christian is not a natural thing. It is in one sense supernatural, and by that I do not mean miraculous. By that I mean an intentional effort to understand that we as Christians walk by faith and not by sight. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7. How are we doing that? Because here's what I find at times. One of the things that Moses is telling us here is our day is filled with unimportant moments, right? Our day is filled with free time. Our day is filled with filler. Our day is filled with routine. But the unimportant, the filler, and the routine moments of life, all right, become habits that ultimately shape who we are as a person. Have you ever thought about that? Moses is saying, as we go about our day, all right, so you wake up, I grab my phone. Does God have anything to do with what I do with my phone when I grab it? We're waiting at a traffic light, grab our phone. We're waiting in line at Dairy Queen. No offense, nobody here has ever worked at Dairy Queen, but they seem to be the longest, right, if you go eat somewhere. So you really grab your phone there, right? What am I doing? You know, there's all these unimportant moments that really become important because of how they shape us and how they frame us. And Moses is saying, as you go about life and as we go through those unimportant moments, are we being reminded of God? So here's what I want you to think about. I want you to go to one more passage and we're going to close out. Because, you know, in a similar train of thought in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul teaches a similar idea in Colossians chapter 3 as you look at verses 1 through 4. And here's what I want to really close out with to tell you this. Our phones actually can really help us doing what Moses commanded the children of Israel do in Deuteronomy 6, and fulfilling the command that Paul actually says here in Colossians chapter 3. Notice it says in verse 1, if you've been raised with Christ, who's that? That's us as Christians. We've been baptized, we've been raised to walk in a newness of life, okay? If you've been raised with Christ, Colossians 3, 1 says, seek. Let's stop with that word there. To search for. To be on the watch for, to desire, to want. It was used in reference to King Herod seeking Jesus to kill him. It is also used in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33 when it says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. If we've been raised with Christ, seek what? The things that are above. Where Christ, that's heaven, is seated at the right hand of God, the throne of glory. Seek the ways and the will of God. Now notice verse 2. Set your minds. Literally, to direct one's mind to a thing, it implies intentionality, purpose. It's not an accident. And again, it's not natural. Set our mind on things above, not on things of the earth. Let me tell you something. Our phones can be a great help with that. And as we close out, let me mention just a few things. Take, for instance, the Bible apps. I have a Bible app on my phone. It's called eSword. I have it on my tablet. Through an iPhone, I think I've had to pay $3 or $4 for it. But man, it's almost a library of resources that I use every day. And if I don't have my tablet with me, I don't take my iPad with me everywhere. I have everything that I could do on this, I actually can do on my phone. So if, you know, my kids have practice, which that's never ending if you have 4 kids that play sports, right? We're always waiting on them for practice. That's okay, though. What do we got? Well, hey, it's a great time to study. It's a great time to read through the Bible, study the Bible. I mean, that's a wonderful thing. 20 years ago, we didn't have that. Memorize Scripture. We've got the Bible app on our phone. Screenshot it. I want to memorize this verse today. Okay. I can look at it at any moment to help me memorize a verse of Scripture. Isn't that one? Used to be you had to get a post-it note and write it out and then put it in your shirt pocket and pull it out. And you know, now I don't have to do all that. Now I just pull up the Bible app and look at it, screenshot it, you know, put it as a picture, look at it. We have a more available opportunity now to study the Bible anytime we want and memorize Scripture whenever we want than what we ever had. I think that's great personally. Or how about listening to Scripture being read? You can get on YouTube and you can type in the translation you want and you can type in the book you want and you can listen to that, the book Gospel of Matthew, being read for free. You can listen to it being read. So, you know, while you're driving in the car, plug it in your phone or plug it in your car, you can hear the Gospel of Matthew being read as you drive down the road. Or maybe you're doing something around the house. Maybe you're working in the garage. You know what? I haven't read the book of Philippians in a while. I don't have to read it. I can listen to it. Pull it up on your phone. That's a great thing. Do you understand that? Or when was the last time we logged on? I know a lot of you. By the way, let me just say this. My kids say Facebook is for old people, okay? So that's me and that's you. And so I'm going to use Facebook a lot. The younger generation doesn't use Facebook. But when was the last time, though, we logged on Facebook and we just prayed as we scrolled through our Facebook feed? We prayed about news articles that people shared, post events that's going on in people's lives, good and bad, right? That's a great opportunity to connect with the world, connect with friends and family, but also pray for them too. Or how about, there's tons of devotional apps. Angie's dad, one thing he does is he'll go to worship service where he's an elder at on Sunday, okay? And he hears a sermon, and you would think, well, I'm done for the week, right? Nope. There are so many churches' Facebook pages that, like we have, he logs on, listens to my... He's going to hear this. I should probably tell a joke about him because he's eventually going to listen to this sermon. And so, you know, one day he'll listen to me, fall asleep possibly, I don't know. The next day he'll listen to someone else. And it's very easy to develop a list either through Facebook or YouTube or other social media platforms to listen to gospel sermons all the time. You can get on a church website, you can listen or watch the video of a sermon. I mean, we live in a time now where we've never had more access to preaching, devotional time, Bible classes. We live in a time where, think about this, get on YouTube, type in a cappella singing. You'll literally find hundreds of songs that you can listen to in the car for free. You know, it used to be you had to buy a CD for $20, you know what I mean? Nope, not anymore. You can listen to gospel music, congregational singing for hours every day. So easily. And what's my point? By intentionally doing these things, you know what we're doing? We're making a decision to allow the Word of God to dwell in our hearts. We're allowing the will of God to meditate on Scripture, to think about the Scripture, to think about how it applies to our life. And I promise you this, if we rearrange how we use our phone in this light, it will make a difference in your life. Next week, we're going to talk about self and our relationship with others in regard to our smartphone. So I do hope you'll come back to that. If not, just watch it on your smartphone, right? That's what we do. But I want you to understand this. The lesson is yours for this morning. I hope we really consider these two questions and we look at them seriously. Are our phones helping us to redeem the time or ruin our time? Is our phones drawing us closer to God or further away from God? Only you and I can properly answer that question for ourselves. And I hope that whatever corrections we need to make, we'll make them. If you're here this morning, though, and you decide that you're not a child of God, but you want to become a follower of Jesus, and you understand who Jesus is, and you want to turn away from a life of sin through faith, and you confess Jesus to be the Son of God, and from that confession, we'll baptize you to have your sins washed away. Acts 22 and verse 16. Maybe you're here and you are a Christian and you need help. You need prayer. Whatever that need is, why don't you come? Together we stand and sing.
Careless soul, why will you linger, wandering from the fold of God?